staying on the reading the Word of God found over in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5. Appreciate you being here tonight. The Bible said in Ephesians 5 and verse number 15, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Thank you for standing tonight. Father, I pray you'd touch us, you'd help us to be a blessing to your people. Lord, realizing many's had a hard day today, and I pray you'd encourage their hearts. Lord, you'd give us something out of the Word of God tonight. I pray now that you would clear my mind and my heart, and you'd bring the things that I've studied today. God, you let them be a blessing to your people tonight. Thank you for these people that's so faithful and good to us. Thank you, Lord, for the way that you've helped us at this place. We bless you for it. And we want to pray specially tonight for Brother Jason, Miss Amanda, and God, the baby. You know her needs tonight. I pray now you'd help them. And Lord, as new children are born here, I pray your hands will be about them. And then, God, we wish you would birth more children into your spiritual kingdom. God, draw sinners. Help us up there on the hill Sunday. Pray you'd just give us a great day and you'd show me that of what we need to preach. And we'll be grateful. Touch us tonight now in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. I'm interested tonight in preaching on making most of our time. You know, I've got several quotes tonight that you might want to write down. Matter of fact, probably got a lot more quotes than I do scripture. But I want to focus on this word in verse 16 on redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now, we don't have to look far to realize that we are in the last days. This word redeeming, it has to do with making the most of it. And or it means to seize the opportunities. I wrote this thing down about time I really did like. There the writer said, "One thing you can't recycle is time." Boy, that's so true, isn't it? And if you don't have time to do things right, then when will you have time to do it over? That's so true. And time makes heroes, but dissolves celebrities. And ordinary people think of spending time, but great people think of using it. Tonight, we ought to be thinking about redeeming our time. You know, on the tombstone, I'll have 1961 where I was born. Whenever God calls me out of this walk into His world, there'll be another date. Unless the rapture comes and nobody worry about a stone. And but that little dash there, between that, it's a lot involved in that. And I mean this with all of my heart. I've got some things maybe that'll help you tonight, maybe where I'm headed. But you know, I found out the older I get, some things that I really majored on was very minor. And some things that I minored on was very major. Boy, I wished I'd have spent more time with my children. And I lived, I guess, a young, rough life behind the scenes that not a lot of people knew about. The things I did it alone and with a small group, but I did some things that I'm ashamed of. And I think about since I've got saved, you know, I lived all of that and done all that for the devil, but what am I doing for God? And I think a lot of times, you know, we think that we're not doing much, but really, you know, if we're living a life in front of people, we're doing more than what people tell us that we're doing. And the devil will never encourage you. You know, I was sitting there listening to the choir sing, and I was thinking, you know, probably 20 years ago, you'd have heard a sermon tonight on about why the choir's not full. Well, we know why the choir's not full, because people ain't here to make it full. And I can run around, throw my gallbladder out, throw my back out, and we all done know people going to do what they want to do. And you're here tonight because you want to be here. But the older that I've got in the Lord, I've tried to use a little sense about things, and I still miss it. But I feel like I've got a little more wisdom, Brother Joe, than I did 20 years ago. But redeeming the time. I wonder, what are you doing with your time? And what we're doing for the Lord is only really the things that are going to matter. And I think people look at time as if time is going to just continue on forever. But you know, here redeeming the time is mentioned twice. It's mentioned in Ephesians 5:16. Then it's mentioned again in Colossians 4:5. It says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. So when God says something twice, it's very important. And so tonight, I want to encourage you making most of your time. First of all, time is a divine gift. Now, we try to expand and extend our time. Our days, however, they are determined by God. I think a man can do things to shorten his time. And I think through the foreknowledge of God that he knows everything. And it goes a little stronger than that. God has purposed many things. But time is a divine gift. God has a deadline out there for me and you. I'm glad I don't know where it is. In Job 14, I'm dying to read to you a statement that's standing really in my heart tonight. But I got to get there in a few scriptures first. But in Job 14, and I want you to notice that time is a divine gift. Now, we that are older know the Bible's true where it says, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And if you don't have trouble tonight, it won't be long. You will be involved in trouble. A lot of young men, they're trying to pastor a church and think they won't face trouble. If you're going to preach, you're going to face trouble. If you're going to be a mom and daddy, you're going to face trouble. If you're going to be a Christian, you're going to face trouble. If you're going to have a public job, you're going to face trouble. You know what? If you draw a breath of air, guess what? You're going to face trouble. And the Bible said, he cometh forth like a flower and he's cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. Now, the Bible said in verse 5, you ought to underline this, talking about time as a divine gift. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, or with the Lord. Thou, God, hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. We all have a deadline with God. We don't know where that is, but we can be assured of something. It is in front of us. We're all going to draw our last breath here, and we're going to open our eyes before God. If we're saved, we go to heaven at that time. If not, we go to hell at that time. There is no go-between. And then there on resurrection judgment time, the Bible teaches, hell will be emptied and cast and judged in the lake of fire. And certainly that is no good place to be. And a lot of people say, well, in heaven, what will we do? We're not just going to float around. We're going to worship the Lord. I believe we all will have jobs and priorities. God will have us busy enjoying eternity. We're going to walk on a street of gold. We're going to live in a mansion, not a cabin. We're going to hear singing like we've never heard. We're going to see Jesus, the most profound thing that could ever be in front of us. We're going to see him that hung and died and shed his blood for us. And so here the Bible says that we are to redeem the time because it is a divine gift. God has given you life. God's given me life. We don't know when it ends, but what is important is what we do in this life that we may have the next life, and that's the life eternal. Time's a divine gift, too. Time is a daily grant. With the gift of time comes responsibility. Each day's been given to us by God as a grant or a trust. As receivers, we are stewards of God's gift. In James chapter number 4 and verse number 14, there you'll see the Bible says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, because we don't, do we? How many of us have went to bed tonight in a perfect environment And tomorrow we awoke to things that we thought was unimaginable. So he says, for what is your life? And I want to ask you that tonight. What is your life? He says, it's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. In other words, time is a daily grant. We see in Proverbs 27, verse number 1. Proverbs 27, verse number 1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Now, isn't that so true? Boast not thyself. Don't pat yourself about tomorrow. For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Don't say mine won't. And I'm going to tell you a little fuck, don't say you won't. Time's a daily grant. Time's a divine gift. Time will swiftly pass. Minutes continue without interruption. As I've started tonight, my watch does not stop. If it does stop, time still don't stop. Time will swiftly pass. Minutes continue without interruption. In Psalms 39, verse number 4, Psalms 39 and verse number 4, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a hand breath, and my age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his at his best state is altogether vanity. You know, I didn't know how to appreciate health and youthfulness. I don't want to go through a whining session, but I get tired or quicker than I used to. And I didn't know really what a youthful body, how wonderful it was. You know, I told some of y'all the other day, I seen a boy jump off the top of a TV repair van out there on the side of the road. I mean, he was standing on top of the van, and he jumped all flat-footed on the ground. Could y'all imagine 50 years old doing that right there? I mean, I like to run off the road thinking how bad that hurt. But you know, when I was 13, I wouldn't thought, no, I'd run and jumped off across the hood and hit the ground. But boy, time is granted to us and time will swiftly pass. He said, in your best day, I want you to know, it's not much to crow about. And then a time will swiftly pass. But then Hebrews 9:27, this is where we better underline our Bible. Time will surely pass. Time will surely pass. Far as I know now, it's on schedule. If nobody backs out, I'm going to preach the Bowden Baccalaureate down at the First Baptist Church here in town. And I'm beginning to think about some things that I want to say to young people. And, you know, there's something here in Hebrews 9:27 that none of us is going to get by. And it says, it's appointed. This is in stone. It's no paying nobody off about this. It's appointed unto men once to die. But after this, the judgment. And so it's no reason us judging nobody. Because the Bible says how we judge is the way we will be judged. And that makes me want to stay very non-judgmental. Now I want to get with the message tonight. Three things I think we ought to make most of our time.
that I want to share with you. First of all, I think we ought to seize every opportunity for our faith. Our faith. That's the first and foremost. It's God first. You need to be saved. I need to be saved. I know I'm saved. I've got a good idea of a lot of people in this building is going to heaven with me. But I don't know what's in your heart. But I want to tell you this. Jesus died for you. And you can be saved. And so time is not only a divine gift and a daily grant, but time is a decisive guide. We've got to let this guide into our priorities of opportunity. And that first opportunity or priority ought to be that of faith. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, I want you to notice here the Bible is teaching us something that would do good to underline tonight. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse number 2. For he saith, I've heard thee in a time accepted. In the day of salvation have I secured thee. In other words, I came to you is what that word means. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. This is the dressing room for eternity. I'm not asking you, have you joined this church? Not asking you, have you been baptized? I'm asking you, do you know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior? Has there ever been a time that the Holy Spirit convicted you and convinced you in your heart that you was a sinner? And at that time you came to God by faith and accepted what He done for you on the cross. You know, I preached Sunday on that word Calvary one time mentioned in the Bible. Once was enough. And I'm glad of that tonight. And so certainly our priority ought to be the things of faith. We ought to be saved. And then in Ephesians 5 and 18, we ought to be Spirit-filled. Listen, a lot of people get saved and they think, well, that's far as you go. No, let me tell you, to stay filled with the Spirit of God is a daily challenge and a daily chore. It's a thing of maintenance. It's maintaining. What you give out, you've got to get back in. You've got to pray. You got to keep sin out of your life. You got to get in this Word of God and be filled. Why? Because we leak. We're so human. Isn't it amazing Sunday morning how we get filled with the Spirit of God? We get caught up in God's wonders and His glory. And by Wednesday night, our batteries are, they're on empty. And that's why we need the Word of God midweek. That's why we need fellowship. That's why we need to pray daily. We need to keep our batteries charged. You never know when you're going to face some of the greatest opposition in your life. And when you do, you need to be battle ready. The devil don't give battle sound and warnings. He attacks. And when he does, I've noticed this, he loves to come at your weakest place in your life. Therefore, the Bible encourages us to stay filled. Now, we ought to make the most of our time with our faith. We ought to be saved. We ought to be Spirit-filled. In Ephesians 6 and verse number 10, we ought to be strong. He says this. He says in Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 10, finally, my brethren, I want you to be strong in the Lord. Don't let little things shake you. You ought to be totally challenging yourself to grow in the things of God. When God saved you, you ought to be developing your faith. You ought to be stronger today than you was last year. You ought to be growing in the things of God. And so I want to challenge you in your faith to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We can't do anything without God. We've all seen enough what we can do. What we need to do is take our shoe off and shout about what God can do. And, you know, as Samson, Sunday night, as I'd preach, as Samson, that lion came against, he had nothing in his hand. God took care of it for him. And he's saying, be strong in faith. Trust the Lord. You know, a lot of times we want to see things. Listen to me tonight. Faith is taking the first step when you can't see the whole staircase. God don't show you the end of the staircase. It's one step at a time. And so I want to ask you tonight, what are you doing in faith? I think our church ought to be on the top priority list of anything in our life. I personally think, and I have convictions, I have Bible, I feel like that we should put everything in our life around church, not church around everything in our life. This post ought to be God. And this middle is standing on pillars. This thing ought to be fixed right in the center of our life. And we develop everything we do around this center post. It's God. Does ball team come before God? Does hunting, fishing come before? I'm not talking about taking vacation. I'm not talking about enjoying life. I'm talking about a pattern in your life. And this is what you'll start doing. You'll start missing Wednesday night. Then you know what we start noticing Sunday night? The crowds start dwindling. And then we become a Sunday morning church. And then we'll be forced to do as others. We just close everything up and we have one service on Sunday morning. Now let me tell you why churches go dead. Because the membership do it. God don't do it. And you know yourself, when you start leaning, it's going to fall. And we can all have 10,000 excuses about why not to be at church. And I know there are exceptions to the rule. But you'll have to agree with me tonight. If God and His church is the center of our home and we're planning everything around this, everything works a lot better. And so we've got to redeem the time with our faith. We ought to be trying to win people to the Lord Jesus. People in our town died and went to hell today. Promise you in Carroll County, read tomorrow, I won't be their judge, but people died without Christ today. I wonder what we're doing, how are we reaching? I think a lot of times we think, well, preacher, you know, I'm doing so good, I'm faithful. Well, that's great. You know, that's first base. Let's get to second base. Let's invite somebody to go to church with us. Let's reach somebody that other churches don't want. Let's give somebody a chance maybe that we never had. Let's do what God wants us to do. Did you know when God saved us, He said, come. But after He saves us, He says, go. The Great Commission. And I think a lot of times this is where a church like us, when we're so blessed, we're close to running 50 missionaries. This is what we do. We say, well, we're paying our tithes. We're giving our first Sunday mission. That's wonderful. That's great. But all that's first base. And we think, well, you know, we've got 50 missionaries out doing what we can't do. That's right. But what are we going to do here on our piece of ground? That ought to be redeeming the time. You'd be surprised who'd come to church with you if you'd asked them. You'd be surprised who you could win to Jesus if you'd simply asked them, you know, I just want to tell you, the Lord saved me one day. Have you ever been saved? You'll be surprised if you'll redeem your time in faith. And, you know, I can go on and on and on, but certainly faith is first and foremost because it's eternal works. We're either going to heaven or we're going to hell. It's no in between. And so redeem the time with your faith. Number two, I think we ought to seize the time or seize the opportunity with our family. And in Proverbs 12 and verse number 7, you know, You can't, as the old saying, it's no use in crying over spilt milk. But I sure do wish that I could milk some cows over again. In Proverbs chapter number 12 and verse number 7. You know, I see young men taken for granted, I guess, a good wife as much as anything that I see in young men. I mean, just being stupid. A good woman is hard to find. And if you've got a saved wife tonight putting up with you, that's a lot. And then I think some of the biggest things that I see in the young ladies is they don't understand why he's doing that, and he don't understand you. And you never sat down and talked through things about what's going on, and so you drift apart. And then the devil divides the home. But our family, if there's ever anything that we need to be spending some time in, is family. Young men, let me tell you something. There's more to hunting and fishing. It's more than ball playing. You got a wife at home to see about. And you got young'uns to see about. And I think that a woman ought to allow her husband, she ought to see him enjoy the fruits of his labor. If I had to be married to a woman and she fussed every time that I went hunting or fishing, I'd pull what hair I got left out. And you know, we ought to enjoy one another. And we ought to let each other be what God's called us to be. And we need to respect one another. I think respect and self-centeredness is probably one of the two greatest areas in life that we all lack in. It's all about me, 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 me. But you know, if I had to tell you tonight to redeem time with family, I want to say some things. Seize the opportunity of your family. Take time to sit on the porch. Take time to take a vacation. You know, my kids, I don't know, I find myself in whatever I do, I don't know a stopping point. It's just anything I'm interested in, I'm going to do it or I'm not going to fool with it. And you know, a lot of times they beg me, and Megan and Macy, they say, "Daddy, why don't you just leave the church one Sunday and go on vacation with us?" Well, you know, I did that last year. I'm going to do that this year. I'm going with my family and my wife, and I'm going to take me a time off, and I'm going to put my priorities in order. And it's not that I don't love you, but I worship God, and I report to Him. And He's first and foremost. And then my family is second, even before this church. Because I'm going to tell you something, if I lose my wife, you lose your preacher. Now, we ought to seize the opportunity of our family. Listen to me now. Write some of this stuff down. Any man can be a father, but it takes someone special to be a dad. Dads carry pictures where their money used to be. This right here is what really sticks out to me. I'm saved tonight. Brother Dennis, I'm saved. I'm ready to go to heaven, but I'm going to be honest with you, I don't want to go tonight. I'm close. I've had that kind of day. I'm close. And this is a statement I want to say to you, and I want to let it sink into you tonight about your family. Listen to me. How blessed me and you are that makes saying goodbye so hard. How blessed I am that makes saying goodbye so hard. Boy, I love my family. I love my girls. I love my wife. I started sending my wife something today on Facebook. Some of you won't like it. I don't care if you like it or not. But if my wife lives 100 years, I want to live 1 minute less than 100 years because I don't want to live without her. And you think about this statement, how blessed you are to make saying goodbye so hard. The measure of a woman's character is not what she gets from her ancestors, but what she leaves to her children. There's no grandfather that does not adore his grandchildren. Proverbs 17:6. I always think of Brother David and I think about his grandkids. He had grandkids before I did. And you know, he'd tell me, he'd say, "You just wait, preacher." When I'd look at him, I'd say, "Brother David," he'd say, you wait, preacher." Well, you know what? He's right. Children's children are the crown of old men. And the glory of children are their fathers. There's nothing like grandyoungs. I'll hurt you over my grandbaby. I mean, I make no bones about it. I may have to give up my pastor office, but I'll hurt you over my grandbaby. I mean, I just tell you how it is. I mean, I don't know, they in places nothing's never been. And I'm fixing to read something. Grandchildren fills a place in your heart you never knew was empty. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. Let me say it again. Grandchildren fills a place in your heart that you never knew was empty. I can't describe. I love my children. But they just a different love for grandchildren. And I can't explain it. I can't describe it. I'm just enjoying it. You know, Megan, her phone ring is Olivia singing, "You Are My Sunshine." And on the road last night, I was coming in and Megan called and I let that ring nearly go to where I know it's fixing to hang up my answer just to hear that baby saying, "You Are My Sunshine." I think we ought to redeem the time in our family. How many times, Brother Mike, have I put things before my family that I shouldn't have had? Your kids right now, young families, they on your toes. But you listen to your preacher and it won't be long. They'll be on your heart. And you better hold them and love them and cherish that time. And with your mom and daddies, I don't care how crazy they sound to you, you better watch your smart mouth and not say nothing you wish you hadn't said when you go by their casket. You see, I think that we ought to seize the time with our family. A family isn't about whose blood you have, it's about who you care about. Listen, this right here, boy, this is about good as the other quote. A family with an old person has a living treasure of gold. A family with an old person has a living treasure of gold. My dad-in-law, I think Monday night, I went up. Renee's still at work. And I just went and spent an hour with him just to listen to him talk. And it's amazing what he says. And just the wealth of knowledge. You know what he told me? He said, "Did you know that when I built my first house, I built it with a handsaw?" He said, "Did you know the first power saw I ever had, a man had to talk me into doing it, and I paid installments on the lumber bill and I got it paid off?" He said, "I built a 4-room house down in Bowden in the 60s. I said, "Papa, how much do you have in?" He said, "Had the $6,000 in material in it." You know, having an old person is having just a living treasure of gold. I love to hear the old preachers talk about in revival days when they'd raise the windows up, pull the mules and wagons up. People would sit on mule and wagons just to listen to the old man of God preach out of the church windows at revival. Women get on one side of the church and the men on the other side before time. They said you'd come up the road in them old wagons and it sounded like a beehive, everybody just to praying for revival. Family's very important tonight. And then I want to say thirdly, and I close, not only should we seize the time or make good of the time of our faith and our family, but I want to say thirdly, we ought to seize every opportunity of time with our friends. In Ecclesiastes chapter number 4, if you'll turn right to the right of Proverbs there, Ecclesiastes chapter number 4. Verse number 9, two are better than one, because they have good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Now, if they fall, in Ecclesiastes 4 and 10, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that's alone when he falls, for he hath not another to help him up. We need each other. Then look in Proverbs 17:17, and that's the last scripture I think I go to tonight. Proverbs 17:17. You ought to underline this and remember it. And I've got some quotes here I want to share with you, and then I'll be done. You there? Proverbs 17:17. Say amen. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. I want to say, first of all, tonight that a friend shares the good times and helps by listening during the bad times. A friend is a person who knows what you're saying even if you're not talking. Lots of people want to ride in the limo with you, but you want someone that will ride the bus with you when the limo breaks down. While everyone else shakes my hand, a friend to hold it. True friendship is felt, not said. True friends are hard to find, difficult to leave, and impossible to forget. When it hurts to look back and you're scared to look ahead, you can look beside you and your best friend will be there. A true friend never gets in your way until you're going down. Watch this. It takes a long time to grow an old friend. This really stuck to me. It's the friends you can call at 4 a.m. that matters. Listen to this. A friend is one that knows all about you and still likes you. That's a true friend. Listen to this. The only way to have a friend is be one. A man that has friends must show himself friendly. Oh, listen to this right here. True friends stab you in the front. Me and Brother Dean, we get in some pretty heated conversations sometimes. Iron sharpens iron. You say, well, Brother Ken, I tell you one thing. I know you're my friend. You can always tell a real friend when you've made a fool of yourself and he doesn't feel like you've done a permanent job. Boy, you listen to this right here. I've seen this in business world. Brother Dwayne, you'll relate to this. A lot of you will. Brother Randy. A lot of you that has held a job in leadership. In prosperity, our friends know us. In adversity, we know our friends. Y'all wouldn't believe the friends I had when I run PepsiCo. When the character of a man is unclear to you, look at his friends. Because more times than not, we are who we run with. Appreciate you being here tonight. Boy, I want to redeem the time. You know, I got.